This episode of Section D was first broadcast on the 20th of January 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to Section D, the hour we devote to the world of design each week here on Monocle 24. I'm your host, Tom Morris. Today we're out and on the road, taking in the sights, sounds and of course sharp sartorialists at the biannual menswear shows in Italy. We kicked off last week along with thousands of international press and buyers at Pitti Uomo in Florence. So polish your boots, tighten that tie and do up the double-breasted for this men's season special edition of Section D. Coming up today, we find out how Pitti is back on top with the CEO of the organisation.
Very good mood, especially due to the quality of the collection, the quality of the selection we have done, the internationality of the show.
We meet some of the new finds displaying their wares at Pitti for the first time.
In my mind, the only two garments or things that we wear that actually get better with age are either something in leather or something in raw denim. And so, if I can't sell as many jeans because we're not doing some nutty destruction of the jeans in advance, that's okay.
And, of course, we chat to some very old favourites.
All I've done is looked at what Grenson is known for and what it's very good at, the details and the way we make a shoe, the way a shoe's been designed by us for many, many years, and just make it more relevant.
That's all here on this Pitti Uomo special edition of Section D with me, Tom Morris, on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to Section D with me, Tom Morris, coming to you from Italy with this Pitti Uomo special edition. The menswear trade fair has reigned supreme in the industry since 1972. No other show caters quite so comprehensively to every single factor of the global business. But the last couple of years has seen the well-polished shoes of Pitti being ever so slightly trodden on, when the event has overlapped with London Collections Men since that launched in 2012. The schedule has finally been sorted out to allow buyers and press to cover both sartorial events, and Pitti was back this season better than ever. Buyer numbers were up almost 20% compared to this time last year. And in the sunny grounds of Pitti in Florence, I caught up with CEO of Pitti Immagine, Raffaello Napoleone, to discuss how the calendar creases have been ironed, not to mention how to keep the 40-year-old event fresh twice a year.
So let's start with, what's the mood like this year?
It's unbelievably positive. We didn't expect such a success because the economy worldwide is not everywhere good. And finally, Pitti Immagine Uomo recorded a fantastic result. Lot of buyers from all over the world. Very good mood, especially due to the quality of the collection, the quality of the selection we have done, the internationality of the show.
Yeah. Any official figures yet?
But we are not at the real end, because we have one more day. But we have 20% more Italians and 15% more internationals. Lot of buyers from Northern Europe, very well England, very well France, very good United States. The only country suffering are Russia, that, as we know, is really in a bad mood.
Let's talk about, because there's been sort of lots to talk about the conflict with the London Collections, which yes. Finally that's resolved, which must have had a huge part to play in this year's success.
In my opinion, the new calendar has been also very positive for both the appointments, for London and Florence. So we are very happy. It has been a clever service to the market. In the meantime, I think that today we have to start thinking to the next 4 years, because the calendar moves, and so in a few years we will be too close to the epiphany, and so to the New Year's Eve.
Exactly.
And so much better to start now.
Yeah. So talk to us about some emerging markets here. Have you noticed any uptake on any particular nations?
For sure, Southeast Asia is performing very, very well. And in my opinion, the future is Europe. Because if I look at the Italian figures, the export figures, Europe covers, for all the textile and clothing industry, the Italian industry, more than 65% of the export. United States 15%. So we have to look very carefully to Europe, because we have a slowdown of internal consumption. But all the tourism helps to have very good turnovers. And in the meantime, I think that Far East, I mean China, will start again, and you have to be well balanced with your customer portfolio.
And there's, I mean, the sun's come out today, it doesn't feel like January at all, and there's a real sort of, a real busy and buoyant mood in the air. I always wondered kind of how you think, why is Pitti so important to Florence as a city in creating this energy?
But for sure, the place we are now, the fortress, gives to the Pitti Maggiore Uomo not the atmosphere of a trade show. It's a real lifestyle event with a very good selection made by us of exhibitors, and for sure also Florence. The quality of Florence, the uniqueness of Florence add values to the presentation here. The town is small, you can really share this experience. Our 4 days full of offers of project, events, nice fashion show that we look for presenting something really new.
Exactly.
So it's an appointment not to be missed.
Yeah. What do you get excited about? I mean, you're so well versed in Pitti. Is it still exciting every year? What do you always look forward to?
No,
do you get time to look around?
Fashion is exciting because it has to change every month.
Yeah.
And a modern, a contemporary trade show today has to afford and approach each edition with this kind of view. We think about Pitti like a magazine. It has to be like Monocle, an interesting magazine where you find every number, every issue, something new, and so you cannot miss it.
Do you get time to look around and actually have a bit of time to yourself and go look for new brands, or are you always talk to journalists like us, keeping you busy?
All right, it's a disaster, because till now I've been in the pavilions, I don't know, 1 hour in 3 days of show, and so it's it's not enough to, but tomorrow, the last day, is a bit quieter. I start galloping, I change my shoes, I dress like a runner, and I am able, till the physique will help me, to see everything.
Let's talk about this year's edit. I mean, the theme is walkabout. If you could explain that to us.
Yes. We try always to find a theme that is useful for the market, and also it's a little bit of the metaphor of the fashion world and of what's going on, what is going on the market. The active wear, the way to move today, that is mainly by train, by plane, by metro, by motorbike, by cars, or by bicycle, is a risk to lose this part of our life that is very important. It's very influential also in the way you dress, and we thought it was nice.
What are there any new pavilions here?
In the future, we are thinking for something new, because we have a lot of companies asking to attend. We will continue to do a deep selection, but this is our approach.
Yeah, because Pitti, I mean, it's one of the most established of all the sort of menswear shows. How do you keep it fresh each year?
Curiosity.
Because there is, I mean, particularly we see in London now with the London collections, there's such a huge attention now on menswear as, you know, one half of the fashion industry,
yes.
Which a few years ago it wasn't quite so much. How do you see Pitti's role in that, in between, you know, London, Milan, Paris? Pitti is still the king, isn't it?
I was speaking about Europe. Having several appointments concerning menswear in Europe is a strong asset for Europe, for the European market, and for the leadership we have to confirm in menswear. So it's positive.
Absolutely.
I see. What we have to use is the brain in doing good services, not just fighting. In the fights, usually in this field, nobody will win. And we have seen what happened in the past. We have had a growth of English buyers in the first edition of the London Menswear Week. And so I think it's better to use the brain and to prepare the future.
One big happy family.
No, not family, because in fact we don't for the moment have any marriage relation.
Yeah.
But finally, if you look at the future with cleverness, it helps.
That was Raffaello Napoleone there, CEO of Pitti Immagine, talking to me in the Florentine sunshine in the grounds of the Fortezza de Basso at Pitti. Now, regular readers and listeners of Monocle will know all too well what a treasure trove of international finds Pitti is on our biannual scout for fresh brands and global goodies in the world of menswear. It's a meeting for the entire community of menswear, but despite the variety of international talent on show, Pitti also provides a helpful springboard for young homegrown designers who are looking for a leg up in the international market. Florentine brand President's 60-piece collection caught our eye this year, and Monocle's Josh Fennett stopped by to talk to creative director Guido Biondi about his autumn-winter offering.
It's very important to be here in Pitti. I think it's the best show in the world right now, speaking about men. And for me also it's very important because it's in Florence. I was born in Florence, my whole family is born in Florence, so it's, I'm very close to my roots, because also this is a link to our manufacturing. The present is all made here in Florence with best material in the world.
And so maybe if people aren't familiar with Presidents as a brand, you could give us a little bit of an introduction to how long you've been there and the kind of ideology behind it.
Okay. The brand was registered in 1957, my grandfather, but what we don't use till 4 years ago, that when I decided to make a little collection dedicated to the men, but very classic in a way, very something don't follow the trend of the moment, but something you can put every season, with every kind of style, I mean, with a sneaker or with a very classic shoe, and something you can wear, I mean, every day, and more you wear, more you get better, you know?
And so maybe if we could focus in on one or two of the items just to give people an idea of what we can see here. Obviously the jeans are classics and the materials are made here, but maybe you could pick one or two things that you think represent the brand very well and that you think might be interesting.
The first one, and also for me, is the new stuff because it's... the first time we released the alpaca.
So this is a kind of bomber jacket with the goat leather on the arms and then the alpaca on the body. Why do you think this is kind of significant for your collection?
I call this the league jacket because it reminds me to, you know, the American campus or England University. For me, this is a very classic model. There is no end of about this style. The 90% of the fabric is alpaca that is made in Florence. And the sleeves are made with goat leather. I mean, Tuscany is very famous for the leather. We bring this in Santa Croce. And the lining of this jacket is made with a termor, so it's very warm. I mean, the story of alpaca is very long because the aviator in 1940s inside the plane used alpaca to keep them warm, you know. I think it's really nice to mix this, have a kind of melting pot on fabric and use history to bring something, to make vintage stuff for the future, you know. This was my idea in general in this piece, but in general in all the collection.
And if I can ask you a more general question about Pitti, I mean, you've been coming here for a number of years. Do you think its importance is increasing? Do you think there are more and more international people coming here to show, or do you think it's mainly for the Italian market? What do you think is the strength of a show like this?
Well, as I said before, it's one of the best, maybe for me it's the best show in the world, because behind of Pitti is Florence. I think if they move from another city, there is not the same thing, because of course Italian people appreciate Florence, but I think much like people coming from England or US or Japan or from over the world, they appreciate the real value of Florence. And sometimes Italian people, they lose something, because here is, you can eat good, you can drink good, the atmosphere is nice. And I think maybe one of the secrets, my idea, is the city behind, I mean.
And last question, have you had a chance to go out and see anyone else's stall? Have you been looking around, or are you're purely here to sell? You're purely here for Presidents, or have you seen anything that's caught your eye?
The brand is pretty young, so we start step by step very slow. We are now in some cool stores around Europe. And yes, I would like to hit the market in a good way, so I think you need to be very focused and don't be very quickly. I mean, to do the stuff very good, you have to be very slow. I think next year I will work with a showroom in the UK, which for me I really like the market, because I think this kind of fashion for men is right for UK. And so this is my next appointment, UK and then Japan.
That was Guido Biondi, the creative director of Florentine firm Presidents, talking to Monocle's Josh Fennett.
Miami was all washed up, but then a brand new breed of art galleries and a boatload of art collections sailed in. Monocle's culture editor Robert Bound finds out how this big bad city turned into a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed art town.
There's warm weather art here, sure, and flesh on show. Why not? And there's the saleable big, bright and bold. But there's good art for sale too. Things that mean things. This city's become a magnet.
Son of a Beach, the Miami art scene. Now playing in the films menu on monocle.com.
This is Section D with me, Tom Morris. Now, Manchester-based outerwear maestro Private White BC took the opportunity to announce a new collaboration with American apparel giant J. Crew at this season's show. Monocle's Josh Fennett sat down with the creative director Nick Ashley to discuss the brand's steady growth, how Brits need to speak up for themselves abroad, and how the company has grown in the 4 years since its foundation.
Private White, the factory, has been going for 100 years. It was started by Private Jack White, and it's always made product for other people. It's never had its own label. So 4 years ago, we decided to have our own label and call it Private White in honor of the guy that started the factory. So in the last 4 years, and we have been coming to Pitti for 4 years, we have very quietly put all our effort into the product. I've been 100% working on the design. Mike, who's been running the factory for 4 years, and his team of technicians have been working with our own mills to actually develop and to not just restore the looms, but redevelop and restore some of the archival weaves, not of just the wool, but also the cottons, the linens. We're moving into some nice old English compositions as well involving hemp, because I'm not that pleased with the ethical side of cotton. And hemp does have a pre-cotton history in the UK that not a lot of people know about. There used to be a whole section of Manchester devoted to hemp before everyone started smoking this stuff and getting high. They're unaware that you can actually wear it as well. That's enough of hemp. So basically, we have been building up a very quiet profile. I didn't want to start singing it from the rooftops about the brand until the product was right. And I think that in the 4 years that it's taken us to get to this point, the product has now got to the stage where I'm confident enough to get on the road and actually start making a noise and start selling it. It's like the Americans say, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So it's something the British aren't very good at. You know, I'm very confident about design. Mike's very confident about making stuff. But none of us are very confident about selling and marketing when we've got people like Americans around, absolute experts on it. But we'll try our best.
So clearly, looking around the collection, you and James have been working extraordinarily hard at bringing new designs to the market. I see a collaboration with J. Crew, your near neighbours on Lamb's Conduit Street, and as well as a beautiful Ventile travel blazer. Can you tell me some of the highlights of this collection and where you see the kind of trajectory going of Private White? It seems to be broadening the amount of styles and what it offers.
The highlights of this collection are actually the lowlights. I like to keep clothes to be very soft-spoken. I work on the principle that when a man walks into a room, you see the man, not his clothes. So my clothes are very softly spoken, but the closer you get to the clothes, the more they say about the man that's wearing them. That's a very old British tradition. It doesn't give us a great-looking stand because it's sort of the clothes are not doing a sort of circus act. They don't jump off the rails at you. But then again, they're not that quiet that they're boring and dull. So they're a little bit like me. I don't look like much, but I'm kind of interesting if you sit down with me for a while. But I'm much more interested in making clothes that are built to last, to be honest. I want clothes that a man can wear the whole of his life and then hand down to the next generation. We also do have a genuine service that during the lifetime of wear that people will get from our products, if any of them fail or if they get damaged or they need repair, they can actually go back to the factory and Mike will fix them with his team of people. So it's a full service. You know, what we're trying to do here is to do the job properly. We're product obsessed. We have to struggle to spend any time on brand building. We should be spending a lot more time on brand building, but we put so much effort into the product, starting with the sheep. We start from sheep and we end up in the shop, and every single stage we're in control of. So that's what gives us our USP. And they say that to be truly stylish, you have to be unique. So I think, our style is derived from our uniqueness.
Well, yeah, I'd have to maybe respectfully disagree about you being so modest about the brand building. I think the brand, over the number of years that I've been coming here and seen it, the stall is eminently more popular. There are more people seeing it. It's, spoken about more in London. I think the profile is being raised, which is a good thing. But you mentioned the kind of British understated nature of the way that you like to work and the aesthetic as well as the manufacturing. I wonder what the importance of coming to a city like Florence, quite a bombastic celebration of all things stylish and out there, is like for a British brand. And, do you have to shout a bit louder? Do you have to dress a bit jazzier? What's the importance of Pitti?
Oh, I tell you, the lovely thing about Pitti is the fact that, as I say, we're not a high quality brand yet. but we are a high quality product. We're in competition with high quality brands such as Burberry and Belstaff, but the quality of their product is not as good as ours. And when we come to Pitti, the people at Pitti understand the quality and they notice our product. So when it comes to the ultimate showdown, fashion's a very competitive business. So if you compare our quality to the quality of our competitors, we're already in the lead just by the provenance of it, if not just the quality itself. And that's appreciated in Pitti. So in Pitti, we're not judged on the quality of our brand. We're judged on the quality of our product. And so that's why it's a very nice place to be.
That was Monocle's Josh Fennett talking to Nick Ashley of Private White VC. You're listening to Section D on Monocle 24 with me, Tom Morris. As we heard about earlier with the clash of Pitti Uomo and the London collections, the menswear calendar is becoming tighter and tighter each season. One casualty of the circuit is established fashion biannual trade fair Bread and Butter, which started life in 2001 in Barcelona and also hosted a Berlin edition. Late last year, it was finally announced it would not host its usual January edition. Its future remains undecided, but Pitti Uomo has benefited from the move, with a small wave of bread and butter brands coming to Florence for the first time. One of our favourite new neighbours is Tellison, the San Francisco-based denim brand. At just 4 years old, Tellison started life producing just jeans, but quickly made the move into outerwear and presented at Pitti its first collection of chinos. I caught up with the founder, Tony Patella, to talk calendar clashes, the importance of Pitti, and how to catch the eyes of passers-by.
We have a new indigo canvas coat with quilted lining, and the thing I'm most excited about is this new chino program where rolling out this spring with Cramerton Army Twill in two fits. It's a standard button fly chino made in the old way, sold raw, but the fabric's so well constructed that it doesn't need to be washed in advance.
As an American brand, how important is coming to Pitti for you?
This time more than usual because of the basic cancellation of Bread and Butter. In the past, always been the best for us. And since I'm an Italian heritage, it's nice for me to be in Italy, but I'm fully aware that the Italian market's tough for raw denim because people here tend to prefer immediate fashion, you know? And if you're looking for something to be looking this way that is sort of destroyed, it takes months, if not years, to happen the way we do things. But our job and our goal is to convert one person at a time into this sort of DIY, old school way of wearing denim. If you do that, you're going to end up with something that is much more unique to you than someone in a factory applying chemicals and abrasion to cotton. So it's a tough road in Italy, to be honest, to sell raw denim at the moment, but just like anywhere, there are pockets of people who appreciate that and want it. And I've learned a long time ago in this business, you can't be all things to all people, nor should you try. And I also think that store owners, consumers, and certainly we appreciate people who have a point of view and believe in it and stand by it if that's what they believe in. And maybe it takes a while for people to come around to your way of thinking, but if you can get a few people every so often to do so, then you'll be okay. And it's an absurd notion when you think about it logically that you pay extra money to have someone destroy your product before you buy it as quote-unquote new. I mean, no one's going to buy a pair of Alden boots that already have scratches on them and a half worn out sole for more money than it would cost to buy a brand new pair and do that yourself, you know. And we also advocate, you know, repairing jeans at least once or twice before retiring them. So it's like getting a pair of boots and resoling the sole. You know, you just get more life out of it, and they usually become your favorite piece because they, over time, will mold to your body. And if you happen to have a certain abrasion that you created, then you remember that. It kind of tells the story of your life in the product. And in my mind, the only two garments or things that we wear that actually get better with age are either something in leather or something in raw denim. That's just kind of our ethos and what we believe in. And so if I can't sell as many jeans because we're not doing some nutty destruction of the jeans in advance, that's okay, you know?
How would you say, I mean, Pitti is really sort of United Nations meeting of, you know, the fashion industry. Who are your kind of key markets? Who are you seeing here? I mean, you're big in Japan, aren't you? And this is a great place for you to sort of interact with that clientele.
Yes, I mean, that's what I love about Pitti. I think, you know, even Bread and Butter was the same way. I mean, I think people would from all over the world to come to Bread and Butter as well, just because of the event itself, not because of Berlin per se. I think people from all over the world love to come to Florence, especially this time of year when it's not super hot and there's not a ton of tourists. You know, it's much more enjoyable, I think. Since I've been here, I've seen obviously clients from Italy. I've seen clients from many from Japan and even a few from Korea, as well as a few from the States and some new ones from places like Turkey, which I never thought we'd have a pair of jeans for some reason. And so that's great. You know, I've seen some people from Taiwan here. It is a good meeting of the minds, and maybe the only other place that could create this sort of international landscape would be if it was a show in New York or London, let's say. So I really like that. And, you know, trade fairs used to be judged on their effectiveness by how many orders you walked home with. Oh, we walk with a stack of, stack of orders. That doesn't really happen. People don't write orders very often at shows anymore. And it's therefore more of like a meet and greet marketing sort of presentation thing. And then you spend the next month chasing down orders from people, you know.
And on that subject, I mean, just in terms of sort of marketing and making a splash here, I'm always interested to sort of talk to brands, how they kind of grab people's attention as they walk past, which you've quite simply, rather wonderfully done with Stars and Stripes here. How do you sort of sell the DNA of the brand quickly?
It is difficult coming this far away. You can't really, if this show was in San Francisco, our space here would look a lot different because we could bring stuff. Coming halfway across the world, you know, it's kind of whatever I can fit into a duffel. But yeah, having the California flag and the U.S., old U.S. flag here, you know, I think attracts attention. And then by putting on the walkway area some pieces that we're most proud of, it kind of attracts people's attention as well. And probably also to have some giant 6'4" freak standing in the booth helps too. No, but as you walk around this part of Piti, you'll see that our product's very different than everything else in here. And I think that also catches people's attention. But it doesn't necessarily translate into sales, but that's okay. You know, we do what we do.
Let's talk about your flagship piece that you've got up there, grabbing people's attention.
Yeah, you know, we had this collaboration with a shop in Brooklyn several years ago, and we did this jacket that we call a coverall jacket. It's kind of a work style jacket, so it's not a slim fitting jacket, and definitely would be applicable to work because it has several pockets. And after the collaboration expired, we just kept on making it in various fabrications. We've done it in 12.5 ounce denim, 16.5 ounce. We've done indigo canvas versions. We've garment dyed other versions, and the one in the front here at the stand here is a 16.5 ounce, but it has a Japanese blanket lining with really beautiful stripe color. It's a wool cotton poly stripe, and it's just a really nice jacket that people tend to gravitate towards. It ends up being relatively expensive just because of the construction and the fabrication, but it's a good piece and very warm actually. The sleeves are quilted lining, and it's just it's a piece that I think people certainly don't see as they're walking around PT. May not be their style, but I think they'll dig the spirit of it at least.
That was Tony Patella, founder of Made in San Fran denim company Tellison, talking to me there at Piti. Still to come today, Piti may all be about dressing up, but we strip off our shirts, suits and ties for a wee while and speak to two underwear brands showing at the fair. And then we don our best triple welteds and talk to the creative director at Grenson. Now, Piti may be the place to discover new menswear trends and scrutinise brands' looks for the season ahead. But tradition is equally important to some of the exhibitors we met. Since 1911, underwear manufacturer Mertz B. Schwanen has made dashing drawers at its factory in Altstadt, Germany. But this year, CEO and owner Peter Plotnicki has for the first time opted to bring his business to Florence. Monocle's Josh Fennett caught up with him to find out why.
Mertz B. Schwanen is a German brand based on German underwear from the 20s and 30s. And we run our whole production in Germany. We are using the old Lupula machines for the fabric production. And we expand the range from underwear into shirts, Henleys, sweatshirts.
And the keen-eyed readers of Monocle will recognize your lovely garments from the pages of the magazine. But most people won't know that this is your first time showing at Piti here in Florence. And I was wondering if you can tell me why you thought it was important with a company that's been going since 1911 to come here and to kind of show off to the menswear market.
Yeah, we decided that we are now at the point to get into the next step or into the next level. And so that's why we decided that we have to try different kind of distributions, and so that's the reason why we show at Piti, because Pity is a men's show, and we hoped that we here get in contact with totally new shops and new buyers, new accounts. And after 2 days, really the things happened. We wished us for the Pity show, and we are very happy that we are here, and we definitely will be here again in summer.
That's great news. And obviously you're a German company, and the products are made near Stuttgart, if I'm correct?
Yeah, not directly in Stuttgart. It's Albstadt. It's on the Swabian Alp. It's 80 kilometers from Stuttgart, the Swabian Alp. Especially this area around Albstadt has a 250 years old tradition in underwear. So there's a lot of knowledge.
So I imagine Germany is your kind of main market, but I wonder what kind of what other markets you're kind of pushing for. Maybe the Japanese kind of love of craftsmanship can find a home and identify with the product. Where are you looking to for the future?
You are right. Germany is our main market at the moment. The second market after Germany is at the moment the US market. We started 2 years ago to show at New York Trade Show, and it developed very well, and so we are looking forward to expand our US business. Japanese is also an important market for us, and I think these three countries are the main countries, and if we would put Europe together in one country, definitely Europe is the most strongest part at the moment.
And the last thing I'd like to ask you is if maybe you could show me one or two of the newer items that you're showing today. Obviously the classic underwear collection is beautiful, rather understated. It's all about the quality of the manufacturing. But you've got a couple of new items here as well. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about them.
Yeah, as always, we don't blow up the collection with so many things. We are always developing one or two new colors. For this season, we first show a kind of new project. We call it Merz Training, which is inspired by kind of retro sport themes. And we did some new fabrics for this theme. We have our very cool cotton fabrics, and we also did a merino wool, a super fine merino wool, KBT wool, which is an organic wool. The function is 100% technical fabric, but it's 100% natural and very comfortable wearing on your skin. And we developed a new sweat fabric, which is a blend between cotton and wool. The inner side is merino wool and the outer side is cotton. It looks like a basic sweater, but it has also a kind of function because of the woolen inner side.
And the final question, how has the collection been received? Obviously, it's the first time at Pity. Are you happy with the feedback you're getting? Are you happy with the people that are approaching you? And, you know, are you enjoying it?
To be honest, sometimes we are really surprised about the respect and the honoring we get from the people who are getting in touch with our products. It's a great response.
That was Peter Plotnicki, the CEO and owner of Merz B. Schwanen, talking to Monocle's Josh Fennett. You're listening to a Pity Uomo special edition of Section D on Monocle 24, where we will be back straight after this.
Covering everything from Security Council shifts at the United Nations to smart startups in the Hudson Valley, Monocle's New York Bureau's beat can also extend all the way down to Argentina and up and over to Alaska. Ed Stocker is our bureau chief in New York.
From business to politics via the arts, we're tapped into what's happening in this fast-paced city across the US and travelling into Latin America.
With one of the biggest beats in our correspondent network, New York bureau chief Ed Stocker is just as likely to be reporting from Mexico City or Medellin as he is from Manhattan. You can hear his reports across the schedule here on Monocle 24.
Hello and welcome back to Section D with me, Tom Morris. Now, as we've just heard, so much of Pity is about the very best of outerwear, with tailoring in particular grabbing most attention. But the fair caters to almost every single aspect of a man's wardrobe, including, of course, underwear. One of our most recent favourites from the world of smalls is the White Briefs, the softer-than-soft Swedish brand, who were at Pitti presenting their new undies, including a collaboration with American menswear guru Nick Wooster. I caught up with the White Briefs founder, Peter Simonsen, to discuss all.
We're launching a new collection together with Nick Wooster and Wilmar Company. And so we have been in Pitti Uomo since, I think, 5 years back. And this is the first time we're doing a new step into a new stand, a new hall, and a new collection together with our normal range that we're showing as well. Mm. So this new collection we're showing now is a 100% merino collection containing 28 styles. We have been working with exploring how far you can go with wool and underwear and the functionality around what underwear means and what more you can do with this fabric and style and context. So that's a little bit briefly what it is about.
Because merino is kind of an often misunderstood material, isn't it? I mean, it's fantastic to run in, it's quite fantastic for underwear, but I think a lot of people are still sort of slightly perplexed. Absolutely. By its advantages over cotton. So.
No, absolutely. That's actually the challenge here as well, to promote or to explain a little bit more. There is a kind of a misunderstanding or like a misconception about what wool is about. And here we can show a collection that actually have properties that feels like you cannot really expect it's wool as well. It's 100% merino, but it could be feeling like silk or pure cotton. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And the technology goes forward and you can actually see there is a lot of opportunity in this fabric, absolutely. Mm. And especially when you see in the styles we're doing, like we have like briefs in merino, but then also like new terries and fleeces and mesh and a single jersey that actually, I mean, people saying when it comes to the booth, is it really wool? Yes, it's 100% merino.
And it works great as outerwear as well.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like outerwear, indoor, out. It's like a hybrid between in, out. You decide. Maybe not the briefs, but...
And what's it like when doing a collaboration? Obviously, the White Briefs is your baby, and then working with Nick Wooster, which is, you know, a fantastic collaboration. How does it work when you sort of pair up with another creative?
We did a collaboration a couple of years back with the Camouflage series. And since that, it feels like we have a natural relationship to what we like and what we have kind of taste and style and what we like to... I mean, it was really easy and very inspiring to work with Nick, mm-hmm. and he still is, so... I hope it's going to contain for a while, but I mean, this marriage feels really natural in a way.
And let's talk generally about Pitti. I mean, you've been exhibiting here for 5 years now. How important is it to you?
I felt when we started the brand, I wanted to be in a platform that actually contains both style, quality, a pretty broad eye on menswear. So I felt like Pitti Uomo is for us the perfect spot. And then there's also this first trade show on the market. So for us, it's just an interesting kickoff. And also everybody comes and see what's news. And so, yeah, for us, it's perfect. Mm. There is many trade shows to choose about, but this is like, it's so concentrated and dense, and there is a variety of buyers. The whole wardrobe is here. So I think it's the major trade, actually, if you should do menswear.
And as a sort of primarily an underwear brand, how do you kind of, you know, surrounded by... you know, lots of outfitters and suiters and tailors and things. How do you make a sort of a visual impact when simplicity is sort of part of your charm?
Well, thank you very much. No, but I try to, you know, to be clear with what we're going to stand, where we're coming from, but also we have in our vision to become an interesting, compelling, everyday brand. And what that means is like we're going from underwear, we take it from that point, but we're always going into loungewear, travelwear, casual wear. I mean, there's a lot of categorizing name around it, but I try to avoid all this kind of thing and just be like a freedom of choice. I mean, there is a lot of things you can wear together with suits and then of course underwear, so everything from A to Z. And then also the whole context, it's very important, I think, when you're showing something.
Yeah. And doing it twice a year, is there sort of certain pressure to come up with new colorways and...
That's the easy part, I think, the colorways, but it's always the tricky part is always to have everything in time, you know. This is the first show on every season, so, I mean, it's always a struggle with get the sample right, even if you're very early. I mean, you give the collection the end of September for the producers, always late, I don't know. I have to investigate that better, but, I mean, we're here now and we have everything, but everything is always in last minute, I have to say.
That was Peter Simonsen, founder of Swedish underwear brand The White Briefs, talking to me there. British shoemaker Grenson has been kicking about since 1866. But having wavered in popularity in the noughties, the brand is now back on firm footing under the creative direction of Tim Little. Monocle's Josh Fennett stopped by to see its latest collection and ask about the importance of Pitiuomo for brands like Grenson.
The new things that we're doing this season are very much based around classic English shoemaking, because that's what we do. But this season we're focusing very much on a thing called the triple welt, which is a really exaggerated, chunky leather-soled shoe that we make in the factory in Northamptonshire. And we launched it about a year ago. And this season we're doing more styles on it. So we've launched another four or five styles and starting to build it out as a bigger collection because it's been so successful for us.
And for the people that aren't familiar with Grenson's kind of meteoric rise from greatness to perhaps a bit more obscurity in recent years, and that, and now again to being kind of at the forefront of the British shoemaking movement, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, your role in reviving the company and how long you've been there?
Well, Grenson's been around since 1866, and like many old companies like that, has been up and down over the years. And it eventually started to decline in the 2000s and lost its way a little bit and lost its relevance and became a bit of an old-fashioned shoemaker and didn't really have relevance for the modern world. I got involved about 10 years ago now, and really all I've done is looked at what Grenson is known for and what it's very good at, and try to bring that up to date, really, and for it to be able to look at some of the details and the way we make a shoe, the way a shoe's been designed by us for many, many years, and just make it more relevant, look at materials, look at slightly different designs, last shapes and what have you. And now we feel that we can come to a show like this, which is a fashion show, and feel that our brand is very relevant and is worn by people who are into their fashion, even though it's still very much based in classic English shoemaking.
And one of the things about Grenson that I think has obviously helped is, you know, your distribution has increased. I believe you told me at a previous time we met that you had, I think, one distributor in London maybe 10 years ago. And obviously that number has increased vastly, and Grenson's kind of popularity is growing with it. How important is it to come to shows like this to show it off to the masses? And how important do you think is the city of Florence and Pitti as a show for a brand like yours?
Well, doing shows is incredibly important because it's our window on the world. It's where we see all of the international buyers. And Pitti itself has a very important role within that, in that, first of all, it's the first show. So it's the first show that all of the buyers come to and they have a look at everything. A lot of the time at Pitti, they don't necessarily place orders, but they come and review everybody's collection and get a real feel for their buy for the year. What's good, what's bad, which brands are doing interesting things. And they come from all over the world. It's a truly international show. So some of the shows in maybe in some of the countries are kind of more locally based, but Pitti is very international. We might have at any one time a Japanese buyer, an American journalist on the stand, somebody from Turkey, somebody from Russia. And so it's really, really important for us to kick off the season with the new collection and see as many people as we can.
And just to steal your phrase, you referred to Pitti as a kind of window on the world. I mean, is it also a window through which you see what other people are doing in the market? I know you have a very clear aesthetic with Grenson, you're the creative director and you know what you'd like to do with the company. But is it also a way to kind of, you know, survey the horizon and see the competitors and see what else is going on? Is it, you know, very much a trend forecasting thing for you, or is it all about sales and Grenson? Do you get away from the stand to see what else is going on?
It's really important, I think, to be able to leave our stand and to have a look around and go and see people and talk to people, and not just on other stands but actually what people are wearing as well. So a lot of the people, everybody who's at Pitti is in the fashion business, so most of the people are wearing clothes and shoes and looks, if you like, that they feel are at the cutting edge of fashion at the time. So just by literally looking around and watching what people are doing, what they're wearing and what kind of things they're doing, you get a really good feel for which way the trend is going. So, for example, about 2 years ago, we started to see everybody was wearing kind of fluorescent sneakers. And lo and behold, about a year after that, fluorescent sneakers became a really big thing in the stores. So you can pick up trends. It's very important to do so, because, again, it's the first show of the season. It's your first opportunity. You get your collection out, and then you can have a look at what other people have done and think, hopefully we're in the right direction.
And the last question, obviously we've spoken a little bit about business, and that is ultimately what people are here for, but I wonder if the kind of pageantry, you know, that streetwear style that we see people wearing, the photographers, the air of glamour hanging in the air, is part of it for you too. Do you enjoy coming to Pitti? Is it a kind of joyous experience, or is it all business?
I love coming to Pitti. I hope my wife doesn't hear this, because I always tell her it's really grueling and hard work, but it's a beautiful city to come to, Florence. The pageantry, it's like a huge street catwalk show. The whole of Florence is taken over by the fashion industry, the menswear fashion industry, and everywhere you go you see peacocks strutting their stuff and looking as good as they possibly can, and it's fascinating, it's interesting, and we all talk about the same things. We have a lot in common with a lot of people. A lot of the business at Pitti is done at a bar after the show closes every evening over a bottle of wine. You get to talk to people that you don't often see, you get to talk to competitors, to journalists, to all kinds of people, so it's a wonderful kind of melting pot for our industry.
Monocle's Josh Fennett there, talking to Tim Little, creative director of British shoemaker Grenson.
Now we're almost at the end of our Pitti Womo special edition of Section D. The Monocle team were out in force at the 87th edition. And to recap and to take stock, I'm now joined by Monocle's Josh Fennett, who is one of my Pitti partners in crime at the event. Josh, what was the mood like this year?
Well, as people will know from listening to the show, I mean, there was a tremendous amount of optimism. And I felt, having visited for the previous few years, that perhaps there was a little bit of worry, as your interview with Raffaello Napoleone revealed, about really where Pitti was going and about what the kind of trajectory was for a show that, in essence, has had to look at itself a little bit, examine its continued relevance to the menswear calendar in light of the kind of London collections men, which, as he mentioned, in the previous 2 years has overlapped. But I think we found a kind of level of stasis, a level of kind of equilibrium, where Pitti and a lot of the buyers there and a lot of the things on show showed off quite a positive mood. And, you know, just from walking around, seeing the number of people, the peacocks in full feather, I feel the show had a real kind of spring in its step. I don't know if you agree with me.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the last couple of years, I think there's been lots of element of change in the event and change in, yeah, the calendar in general. But I think certainly it's now starting to settle. And I think it was very much a steady year. I wouldn't say it was particularly exciting. It didn't seem, you know, if you think the last couple of events, when we found really great brand new brands like, you know, the Gigi this time last year. I don't think we had much of that this year, but it seemed like what everyone was presenting was very, very capable, very accomplished. And obviously, you know, Pitti's role and reputation in the market will never, ever be questioned. It is the premium menswear event. But I think it's sort of having to start rediscover itself and redefine itself. And as we mentioned earlier, I mean, you know, the figures are in, and there's a massive increase in Italian buyers in particular, which seems like, I guess, the market's recovering here. You kind of feel that, don't you? You feel that looking around, you know, the Italian brands sort of back on form. And Pitti, I mean, it is all about performance. One little stretch of your legs around the courtyard of the Fortezza di Basso will show that. But actually, it's not about performative clothes, is it? It's actually about clothes that will sell well, that can, you know, sell internationally, which I think is kind of makes it different, sort of London or Milan or Paris. But despite that, you can always identify a few trends coming out of Pitti. Anything in particular you saw?
Yeah, I mean, it's people devote whole careers and lives to be very good at spotting these kind of trends. But one thing I clapped my eyes on more than most years is the amount of sportswear, the amount of kind of performance apparel, which is kind of mingling almost seamlessly with that kind of traditional tailoring for which Italy is synonymous. So a lot of kind of jogging pants and blazers, which to me is a slightly unusual combination, but the buyers seem to like it, the designers seem to be pushing it. So I think that's something we're going to see a lot more of. And the other thing is kind of performance fabrics. I mean, you have those staples like your Harris tweeds, which are ever popular. People like to engage with the kind of heritage of the material, but being made into kind of new and different constructions. And I would like to put in a good word for Descente, who are a Japanese outerwear brand. And I think you and I were both pleasantly surprised when we went to their stand and we saw that although the Parkers, I hope they'll forgive me for saying this, were not world-beating in their aesthetics, they had one or two kind of very interesting little design innovations. And it's interesting that they chose to show for Pitti at the first time rather than ISPO, which is a kind of outerwear event. If people are looking for an example, they had these kind of materials on the outside of the jacket that wicked the rainwater away from cuffs and away from pockets. So, you know, while you're wearing something, you don't get water in your pocket, which sounds very simple, but actually they've thought a lot about it. The other one was a zip which you don't have to undo all the way up. You can simply clip it a single notch down and it detaches a hood of a kind of raincoat. And I think brands like that, big Japanese brands that see the relevance of Italy still and of Pitti still to getting their word out there, is very, very confident because they've actively chosen not to go to an outerwear show. They've gone to Pitti, which is a premier men's fashion show. Mm. So that was one thing I saw that I thought was very notable.
Yeah. And despite that, there was a lot of sportswear and kind of slightly making things look a bit more junior. But despite that, there was also, I noticed, a lot of really amazing luxe fabrics. There's a lot of alpaca, mohairs, shearling made a big splash. You know, I think for years, that preppy look, that Pitti look was so ubiquitous, that kind of, you know, bow tie and various checks on various elements of your three-piece suit. But actually it seems a bit more, going into a bit more luxe and a bit more kind of 1970s gangster. I sort of see that was a trend, and that's really nice.
Can you see yourself dressing for the terraces in the months to come, dressed as a football manager with your shearling jacket?
What terraces?
The football terraces.
No. But overall, you think it was a good year?
I think it was an excellent year, and as the momentum, the wave, the kind of interest of the industry takes the train north and goes to Milan for the week after, for Milan Fashion Week, and the excitement's extraordinarily high. I mean, going back to the clash with the London collections, I think that there's been a huge amount of brands that have also decided that they would prefer to exhibit in Milan, for instance. Keaton, Caruso, both had huge shows here, and previously they may have done that at Pitti, so the optimism for Pitti is tinged with with the challenge for next year that they need to get these bigger buyers back, and they need to be proving to themselves and to those exhibitors that they are the place to be and they are the place to sell.
Josh Fennett, thank you very much for joining us on this Pitti Uomo special edition of Section D. We are pouring a little glass of a nice aperitivo.
And that's all we have time for on this Pitti Uomo special edition of Section D. Stay tuned next week, where the trade fair Choo Choo Train rolls into Cologne Furniture Fair, Geneva Watch Fair, and Maison et Objet in Paris. And we'll be bringing you the highlights in the next episode. Thanks very much for listening. Today's show is produced by David Pleasant and edited by Alex Funnell. You can contact the producer, David, at dmp@monocle.com if you'd like to feature on the show or if you have any comments or questions. I'm Tom Morris, and to play you out, as we're prone to doing on our Italian special editions, here's a bit of Mina with L'Importante e Finire. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye. Other